This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. This is the only person I can think of that gets thrown into the Super Bowl conversation when talking about singing, but yet it is not a halftime performance. It's just that national anthem. She never did a halftime performance, I don't believe.
No, she didn't.
So anyway, rest in peace, Whitney.
But what she did, that national anthem, has endured.
Oh, it's iconic.
And it's become the gold standard, really, because anybody that does it right now that's from a pop genre or any sect of popular music is going to be compared to that.
And it was the timing of it, too.
Absolutely.
You don't remember the thing, when it happened, Desert Storm had just started, and then she comes out there. And
it's a Super Bowl that went down to the last second.
Yeah, it was.
The Norwood missed field goal. Yeah.
Wide right.
Yep.
Wide right there.
Buffalo denied again.
Before we get into college football, which we're going to do a deep dive into, and then we're going to talk to Russell Baxter next segment about the NFL, and remind you once again, thank you for letting us be a part of your Friday mornings, Black Friday mornings, day after Thanksgiving. We're in for the morning shift. We're going to be here till 10 o'clock, which means it's the first hour of the steakhouse, too. But just be very careful out there. It's not because of the weather. It's because people don't do what Mr. Crenshaw likes to say. Pack your patience.
Yeah.
So just
it's going to be a little bit of a test today.
Keep
going to be a little testy.
Keep that in mind. But as we enter each top of each hour, good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning and happy Thanksgiving to all you people in Loganville.
Okay, now.
Out in Loganville.
Going out 78. You go out to Snailville.
Yeah.
Go out past Snailville. You hit Loganville. There you go.
All right. Before we get into this, you said something during the break that I think is worthy of broadcasting, because I did not know this. We make fun every July 1st, and July 1st is known as, for those people who follow sports, especially baseball, it's Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah.
That's when she's raising her hand back there. She get a taste of it. Bobby Bonilla gets $1.1 or $1.2 million every July 1st, and he'll get it. I want to make sure I say this right, because this actually brings it in perspective. He gets his last payment the year after Bryce Harper's contract ends.
Wow. Think about that.
Yeah, there you go. And he got like some 12-year deal. I think it ends in 32, and Bobby Bonilla's ends in 2033.
But he has a second deal.
But that's what you just said. I couldn't believe it.
I didn't know about this. He has a second deferred contract,
Bobby Bonilla,
from his time with the Baltimore Orioles, that's another $500,000 a year until 2029.
I didn't know that.
2029. So he just, you know, sits back and
talk about somebody who fell into a sewer and came up with two gold watches. And I mean, and this.
But you know what though? It says a lot about it because you got to be situated a certain way to say, yeah, I don't need that now. You know.
Well,
what
the
I mean?
First one like, wasn't on him. You can, he's a beneficiary of Bernie Madoff. Because they're the ones that ownership are the ones who gave their money to him, and when that all went south, they needed to scramble and do some stuff. But yeah, that's a Bernie Madoff thing.
Yeah,
with Bobby Bonilla. But I didn't know that he gets another payment.
Another payment.
He when was the last time he saw a curveball? Was it 1990?
No, it's been.
Or was it 2000?
It was after that. 2000. He was here with the Braves for a minute in the 2000s. So he's played. He's around here for a while.
It's been a minute since he played. I'm going to go look at when he – while you are doing your college football and getting us ready for tonight.
Tonight. Friday night, Georgia and Georgia Tech. And I'm like, you know, wherever you sit on the fence with this, the game is being played tonight. You know, that's the deal. They are going to play tonight. We know what Georgia has at stake. We know what Georgia Tech would like to do as far as this game goes. And we know what's gone on down through the years. This game has had a lot of different winning streaks. Georgia currently is on a streak. Tech had a streak back in like the 50s where I think they won like 8 straight when Bobby Dodd was coaching. So it's gone that way, but Georgia has won more than Georgia Tech, especially since Vince Dooley arrived in Athens. That kind of changed things in Georgia's direction. Both coaches, you know, talked this week at length about their teams, what they're expecting, and what they expect when they play. We have something for Coach Key. Let's hear from Coach Key right now.
Like I said, it's a very talented football team. You know, defensively, they've got a lot of guys on there, play a lot of football. You know, very opportunistic. They've done a good job all season. There's a reason why they're a top 10 team. You know, offensively, obviously, the quarterback is is one of, if not the best quarterbacks in the country, and rightfully so. So
that's what he had to say. Obviously, he's talking about Carson Beck. He's got his eye on him, and the idea is to see if they can do some things to get him off his marks, to get him nervous, and they know that he will, you know, throw the ball to the other folks.
That's the reason why I did what I did, and I went out there on the diving board and said, this is a possibility of an upset. What's the biggest upset so far in college football this year?
Probably Alabama, Vanderbilt. Of course, we didn't know Alabama was going to end up being Alabama, and Vanderbilt was going to, you know, but I would say that's probably still the biggest one.
Well, if this happens, would this dwarf that?
I don't know. I don't know if it – no, I don't think so, because we've seen it coming. We've seen Tech coming. Mm-hmm. They went to bowl game last year. They, you know, so we've seen them coming. We don't feel like they're at the level of Georgia yet, but we see them moving. Vanderbilt just caught everybody by surprise. They just lost to Georgia State, man.
Okay. All right, that's the one.
Like shocked, you know. They're taking the goalposts and dumping it in the river up in Nashville. But hopefully, you know, that won't be the case tonight. No goalposts will be going running around down in Athens. No, because, you know, Georgia has had this, has been this level of expectation. And because of that, Coach Key has a lot of praise for what Coach Kirby Smart has done during his time in Athens.
And, you know, Kirby's done an unbelievable job there, built the program. You know, his alma mater. So I know how much it means to him to every single day, what he goes in and does and works and how important those kids are to him and the school is to him. And, you know, I feel like we'll definitely have their best shot on Friday night.
Best shot on Friday night.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, and Tech's going in with you know, their eyes wide open. And they know what Georgia needs to do. Georgia can't afford to stumble on them. Then they put pressure on themselves in the SEC championship game. So they have to come out and do their best to take care of business. Both teams have had some injuries. And, you know, when Georgia Tech comes out, you know, we'll see what version of Haynes King we'll get. You know, obviously we expect him to start the game. You know, we'll see if he do to a two-quarterback system like we saw last week or the last couple of weeks with this team. It worked well against Miami. It worked well against NC State last week. This is not Miami or NC State that Georgia Tech's playing. They're playing Georgia. It's a whole different deal. Do we have anything from Coach Smart? We have something? Let's hear from Coach Smart.
You know, I think somebody said they had 5 sacks. I don't know if that's right. 5 sacks on the entire year? That's crazy. I mean, I think they're one in the country. Well, they got –
athletic quarterback. They got really good protection schemes. They get the ball out in time. Buster moves the pocket, and they run the ball.
I wonder if Kirby sleeps less this year, not because of the team and the makeup of it, but it's because those other years he kind of knew you were going to get there. And even this year, you kind of think you're going to get there, but you're not 100%. Just like you said, you talk about Carson Beck. He's got a quarterback that he couldn't be more confident in. We have seen this last year. I mean, the guy was getting it done, but for whatever reason, this year there's just some kind of salt in the whole recipe there. And I just wonder if he is having more sleepless nights now, not because of the team, it's because he don't know what that committee's going to do. We all thought, and listen, it'll all...
Well, that's out of his control.
That's what I'm saying. But he's still got to think about it. He's still got to think about it and wonder, why'd you put me here, or I'm not sitting there, and so on and so forth. And it drove us crazy when there were only four teams. And he got leapfrogged over by Alabama, and he went to the conference championship. And that whole conference championship thing is a whole nother episode of Oprah we can talk about.
Right.
But I just feel like this guy wonders, no matter what I do, is it good enough for this committee? Whatever their objective is and what they're trying to do, are they trying to have things balanced? Are they trying to make sure some ACC teams get in along with the Big Ten teams? Is the SEC going to have more teams? All of this is a hodgepodge of unknown.
One thing that he doesn't have to sweat that happened to the team last year, they were victimized by their schedule. And the fact that their schedule, you know, was pretty watered down last year. That's not the case this year. We've seen Georgia tested. We wanted to see them tested. They have been tested this year. And I think that's the thing that the committee looks at as well. They look at you, obviously, your strength of schedule. We're going on power rankings here. So who have you lined up against and played? A lot of it is, especially with conference teams, when you get them, is this an up year? Is this a down year? Think about the Florida team they would have played early in the season that didn't know, you know, how to get out of the parking lot to compare to the Florida team they end up facing in Jacksonville. That was obviously a better team, and on the upswing, they knock LSU out of the conversation. And that's the thing about this conference. You meet South Carolina early in the year. South Carolina's a different team now. South Carolina's, they probably go knock off Clemson this weekend. You know, so, I mean, that's the thing within your own conference. You've seen some ebbs and flows, as you like to say. And some people, Alabama is not a sure thing against Auburn this week.
No, they're not.
Auburn's been terrible. Auburn got a big win last week.
Plus, the place is haunted.
Absolutely.
According to Nick Saban.
and Saban's not going down there this year. And like I said, once Saban departed, it was Auburn's chance to be relevant in that state
and
again.
How much of him sitting in the stands has been a thing? Is that a thing, do you think? With him hanging around in the stands, around the team, as we've talked about, he might be getting information, you know, like the ex-presidents get that we find out.
But he's
about
not there every week because he's wherever game day is.
I understand.
So
he gets on a private jet just like Herb Street and flies to where Alabama's going in most cases.
I don't think he goes every week. You know, I don't.
He's gone to most of the games. My question
is, if he's at the game,
he's
probably watches with a critical eye. And I'm sure with Coach DeVore, he probably communicates with him during the week. You know, just like I pointed out something I saw, Mike Krzyzewski, he was with Duke basketball. You know, if you're at a basketball game and you're at the scorer's table, on each timeout, the idea is that you have to print out an updated score sheet, box. And the two, well, an assistant coach will usually come and get it to take it back to the huddle so the coach can say, see, this is what we need more of. See, this is what we, you know what I mean? And people who are on the scores table, if you ask, will get a copy. When we're doing play-by-play of a game, they always make sure we get a copy to go with it. Coach K still gets one of them. they come to the scores table and they walk over and they hand them on the timeout an updated box. Here's what's going on with the team. And he's sitting there going over it, man, just watching it, you know.
Now, what
hey, Coach,
when you heard that, what do you think of, or what ran through your mind? And you can see, or you can be told if you're there calling a game, he's still communicating with folks on the bench or an assistant coach.
Well, I don't think he's doing that. He's not over there doing hand signals or nothing. I mean, he's watching that. And of course, the coach at Duke is one of his former players. I'm sure at sometime during the week, he makes himself available to go and talk with him. I mean, that's happened. I believe when Bill Curry was coaching at Georgia Tech, I think Coach Dodd would make some time to talk if he wanted to talk with him. Either door, it was an open door. So, I mean, it's not like he's going to come back on the sideline.
Connected to the program.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no cutting of the cord, which makes the present coaching staff feel like, okay, this is ours. we're not having it sort of looked over by the older.
I think there is a cutting of the cord if he's not on the sideline.
And dude's still getting updates like
he's not coming to practice. If he's not in practice, if he's not in meetings, he's not on the sideline, you know, he's a civilian, you know, but you appreciate
him. Civilians don't get breakdowns after every quarter.
Yeah. Oh, that's a point. No.
They don't get what he's getting, like you just talked about. At the table, he's not getting what they hand out to the coaches after every quarter. This is what we did rebounding. This is what we did. Civilians don't get that.
Well, you can.
Who? If I go sit behind you, I'm not getting one of those.
You can go on a website and get that stuff.
Come on, man. We're talking real time during the game. They're giving him special treatment.
He's earned
and
that.
That's what I'm saying. He's still
he's not participating in the game.
I understand that. I'm saying his presence. That's what I was getting at overall.
Well, Roy Williams shows up.
He ain't Coach K. He ain't Nick Saban. Those guys are in a special category. That I won't even put Belichick in it. I will put those two. Again, Cameron Arena is like it's a little band box, right?
It's kind of small. It's a hat box.
Everybody can see him.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll take this up with Russell Baxter. He's up next. We're going to talk some NFL with him. We didn't get too much of Deion talk, but we'll come back maybe to that. But Russell Baxter is going to join us next to get a set for Falcons and Chargers and his other thoughts around the NFL. And then after that, I'm going to tell you about some money flying through the air. Casting call. Jobs are here, and they're back. Coming back a little slow, but they're back. It's Sam and Greg in for the morning shift. On this Black Friday, the 29th day of November, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports!
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Friday morning, 29th day of November. It is Black Friday. Oh, a couple things I want to take care of. The coach we were trying to think of for the Lions is Jim Schwartz. That's who I was thinking of. I couldn't remember his name.
Okay.
Jim Schwartz. I always did that thing from Spaceballs. May the Schwartz be with you. Mel Brooks. A very funny movie. We're working on our guests, so we will just talk a little NFL right now. But there was something I wanted to mention. It happened on this.
There is NFL today.
Pardon?
There is NFL.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Football today.
But we were going to get to the games from yesterday. But we got Kansas City. Kansas City hosting the Raiders. Mm-hmm. That is a 2:30 pregame kick at 3:00, and the game will be downstairs on WAOK. You can hear it there if you can't get in front of a TV. And the reason it's down at WAOK is because we're at the Hawks game, Hawks of Cleveland. And that tip is at 2:30 here. So there you go. What was I going to mention to you, though? Oh, it just left my mind. We'll come back to it.
Hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I know. And I was all ready to, you know, have some fun with Russell. And like I said, it happens. We have to pivot.
All right.
We got to make a little pivot.
All right. Go ahead.
Let's assume this coach does not see the end of the season, meaning Eberflus for the Bears. I ask this question for any NFL team right now. Do you automatically try and pull a coordinator from another team, or are you considering people from from college level? Because they seem to be, the successful college coaches seem to be relating more with today's players as opposed to the established guys. We just saw Mack Brown get knocked out of Carolina. I'm not saying that's the reason why, but, you know, an older, established coach, guy got a national championship, but for whatever reason, and there was kind of a, as you like to say, an ebb and flow over there in North Carolina to that team. People were surprised. This basketball school was performing the way they were a few years ago on the football field.
Right.
Not so much now. But again, I ask, do you immediately try and grab a coordinator if you're an NFL team looking for a head coach?
A guy who's, you know, established himself and has shown himself to be someone who's in that, you know, got himself in that lane where you would be inclined to take on a head coaching job. You don't do that for just anybody, right? But you have to get the right one. And so, sure. Especially if he's coming from success. Think of all the guys who've been up at New England who've gotten opportunities simply because they were at New England, right?
I've not done very well.
But they got the opportunity.
It's just
like with college, with Saban. Think of all the people who've been influenced by Saban around college football, especially around the Southeast.
And they've been successful. And beating him.
Well, not all of them have been able to beat him.
But some have not been totally successful in some other places, but they got the opportunity because of where they had been. So, absolutely, with the professional ranks, absolutely.
But how much do you consider today's players, though, when you do that?
Well, you want somebody, obviously, if you're coming to Chicago, who's geared to coach offensively, an offensive mind, I would think. Someone who's going to, you know, work that, since you have this quarterback that has these skills, and a lot of people have compared him to the guy in Kansas City. That's your NFL quarterback. Now, I won't say of the future. That's of the now.
Right.
So you got to bring somebody in who's ready to hit the ground and bring out the best in this guy now.
It's interesting you say that because while, yes, there is a need to get the right person to coach up Caleb Williams, we're talking to monsters in the Midway. We're talking about the NFC.
Well, they ain't that no more.
No. Listen to what I'm saying, though. You need to have a defense in that division. You talk about the other three teams who have offenses that are explosive, and they got defenses, too, but they're known for what is going on the other side of the ball. You got to have – I always go back to Indianapolis, at least for me. The success they had through those Peyton Manning years was with a defensive-minded coach in Tony Dungy.
True.
He hired the proper offensive coordinator to work with Peyton.
But you had a quarterback that you knew where he was going to be.
Well, he wasn't Peyton when he came out of Tennessee. He might have thought he was going to be there.
But I'm talking about you had a quarterback that was going to be in the pocket. He wasn't going nowhere. To me, with this type of quarterback, you want to get the most out of him. You got to get someone who's, of a mind.
And you get a coordinator. You get a coordinator for that. But I want a coach who knows how to put a defense out there that's going to go up against Love, who's going to be able to handle Jared Goff, who's going to be able to, whoever the Minnesota long-term quarterback is going to be, whether it's JoJo.
Quarterback du jour.
J.J. McCarthy, or whether or not it's going to be Sam Darnold, whoever that is, that's the it division right now. And you're not going to win immediately with Caleb Williams. He's going to take some time to mature. And as opposed to some of these other quarterbacks, well, at least the one in Green Bay, he didn't have an Aaron Rodgers to look up to or over his shoulder.
Right.
What I mean? I just keep thinking about a defensive-minded head coach is needed for that Bears team right now. And you go get a coordinator who wants to coach up. Because, see, that dude, whoever brings up Caleb Williams in a few years, if he becomes who you hope he becomes in that type of quarterback, that dude's going to get the head coaching job. As opposed to getting a head coaching opportunity as a coordinator who hasn't really done anything, but you're like the best of the available guys out there, and then fall flat on his face right away, trying to do it all, as opposed to getting up in there, get some time, coaching up a young quarterback. And I think that's a thing, because at some point down the road as a head coach, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have that skill set and be able to recognize certain traits. What do I focus on? What do I not focus on? These are the conversations I've heard from people in interviews after the fact. I wish I'd have done this more. I wish I'd have focused more on that. Instead of the flash and dash and all that, man, I should have worked on that dude's, fundamentals. I should have got that foundation set, because everybody can't come out of the chute like Patrick Mahomes.
It's true. That's true.
Andy Reid, by the way, off to the side.
That helps too.
Yeah, it does. And let's not forget also, he was there for a minute behind Alex Smith. So he got to stare at that for a little bit. So it's like he landed in the perfect – we were talking about Bobby Bonilla a minute ago. Patrick Mahomes landed in one of those kind of situations where didn't know what he had around him, but we now can see it. And he was also the perfect person for it too, because he was receptive to learning. He had a dad who played in the NBA in Major League Baseball. He knew what it was like to increase his game, what he had to do in the offseason to get his game – to that next level.
Absolutely. Folks, we talk about that, talk about some NFL, and obviously we got the NFL being played today, and we got college football playing today. And what time does that start? I mean, the first game up today is what?
We ain't got no college football on the station. Y'all going to find that.
Okay.
I'm just messing with you. First of all, remind everybody that we got Hawks Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then down in WAOK, we've got Vegas and Kansas City.
Okay.
Now,
college football today, first one up is Colorado and Oklahoma State. And that's going on today. So a lot of people are going to pay attention to that. Coach Prime has been pretty busy in the last few days.
Kind of, sort of.
Rolling in some recruits, man. It's that time of year. The early signing period is less than a month away here. And so you're getting a lot of guys to come in. I think that recruiting, getting Mr. Lewis from Carrollton to turn on Southern Cal and come to Colorado, I think it's going to be a little bit of a magnet
and it really going to help to draw some of the top freshmen in the area that he, as you know, people know him. He'll know him. He's maybe been to combines mm-hmm. with them. He's maybe been to camps with them, to elite high school player events, and they're aware of him. They may want to go there and be a part of what they're going to do in Colorado. And go to a place where, like I said, for him, it's less pressure.
Right.
It's less pressure than going to Georgia. You know, I mean, if you want to win the conference championship, okay. But it's no pressure to win a national championship. And like we both said, now that college players can get cash, mm-hmm. you know, they can't be criticized. Before,
right.
you said, well, you shouldn't say anything bad about them because they're college kids.
Nope, not at all.
You know, that happens. And we've heard, you know, a lot of pounded on Mr. Beck this season. You know, a lot of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lewis won't have to worry about that in Colorado. He really won't, unless he goes out there and just is totally, totally bad out of it, which I don't think will happen. But he'll go there and be in a place where he doesn't have to worry about a competition, a stiff competition in the quarterback room. He knows he can get on the field. He knows he's going to get a good shot at the field. I don't know who else is out there in the quarterback room out in Colorado, but he knows he has a better than average chance of being a starter out there. And
yep.
and knows that he's going to get max visibility. Everything's going to be seen. You know, how much more visibility do you want?
Really?
You want to play, you want to be in a couple of commercials, you want whatever you want. You have that going for you. And at the same time, you're going to be winning. So, I mean, and developing for the next level. And maybe that's what he's chosen. I want to win, I want to have a good time, but I want to get developed for what's next. You know what I mean? If we stumble into the playoff and get a chance to go for the national championship, okay. But it's not at a place where it's national championship or bust.
Who's taking over that mantle where Nick Saban was? You're not going to get five in a row anymore, or six in a row, or whatever crazy records he set there. But the in total, six at Alabama, right? Got
yeah.
seven total. But six at Alabama. He's now exited stage left. He was the gold standard. Is Kirby there now?
In this climate that has changed?
Yeah.
That's going to be very difficult to do.
And so my question is,
difficult
in
to
a
do.
Couple years, if Deion continues doing what he's doing out there, who's to say that that's not his goal? He says, listen, the man left, and it's sitting there right now for whoever wants to take it. And that would be something that he would strive for. I mean, I think we all have kind of decided we don't think that he's going to go to the NFL.
Yeah.
He's not going to leave with his kid and be a package deal or go to one of the other teams. He's going to stay there and build something at Colorado and be, well, at least strive for being the gold standard in college. And can you do that?
I don't know if he can do that there. I mean, I'm not going to say he can't.
Well, Nick Saban didn't start at Alabama. He wouldn't get one at LSU.
But Alabama had been there.
Right?
Alabama had been Alabama now. That's
you're absolutely right.
And Colorado has been Colorado. That's we're talking apples and oranges.
What was going on before Bear Bryant?
You know, they had been successful teams, but I mean, Bear Bryant, you know, came back. He came back because that's where he'd gone to school. He came
right.
back. It was the old saying is mama called because
okay.
he was at Texas A&M. Remember the Junction Boys?
Right.
He was down there with them. Right. So, I mean, that's and he was up in Kentucky, which there was not enough room in the state for he and Adolph Rupp. You know, you know what I mean? So he came to Alabama and did what he did. But because of that and the magnitude of it, that's always there. It's like Southern Cal. You get the right coach and the right players at Southern Cal.
That
has always been there.
That's what I'm getting
at. But that's not Colorado.
No, you're right. It's not now.
It's not Texas A&M.
I'm asking you.
Texas A&M throws a bunch of money out there. Who's Texas A&M been?
What was going on before Bear Bryant made Alabama what they became? Something. There had to be a jump-off point for all of these. What was Duke before Coach K got there? I mean, the all-time greats, when they left that program, there was a period before them. Now, UCLA don't count. Okay, I look at them, and well, I'm thinking college basketball. But as far as football,
why wouldn't you count UCLA? They were playing basketball before Wooden got there.
But they weren't UCLA until
okay.
John Wooden did
okay.
what he
well,
did.
That's it.
So
well,
all I'm saying is Colorado right now, to think that they could be anywhere close to, and again, this is a separate conversation because wherever, you know, Colorado lands as a school, it's not the SEC. So being the powerhouse in the SEC, I get it. That makes everything a lot more different.
They've been in a conference with powerhouses. Colorado was in the Big Eight with Nebraska and Oklahoma.
They were there.
But Nebraska was running stuff. Oklahoma was running stuff.
That's true.
Those are the teams that were running things in that part of the country.
But is it out of the realm of possibility that now moving forward with all these iconic coaches stepping aside, and he decides that he's going to make Colorado relevant. And you,
it is relevant.
I'm not talking about relevant. I'm telling you, when you talk about the greats in college football, at some point 5 years from now, you better have Colorado. But it's a possibility.
I don't think he stays there long enough for that.
Oh, you don't think he's going to build that much?
He don't stay there long enough for that. I mean, he hasn't stayed anywhere long enough. As a Falcon, as a Brave, as a Yankee, that's not what he does. You know, but while he's here, he's making an impact. And he's at a place, like you said, he doesn't have the pressure to have to win national championship. No. If he gets there and gets a chance for it, that's a bonus. The merch is flying off the wall. People right now are using their cars on Black Friday to buy Colorado gear.
Here's the problem.
And people who've never been there, never going there, but they're buying it.
You're right. And here's the problem with this discussion. We're using old sensibilities to try to figure out what's going to happen around the corner when we don't know.
No.
Because everything is changing from week to week. We're in an AI life right now in 2024, and so I don't know what it could look like, which is the reason why I take on this argument, because of what we don't know. It's a changing landscape. So who would have thought the Pac-12 would have two teams in it as we sit here on 2024?
Yeah.
But anyway, we apologize. We couldn't get to Russell Baxter. Hopefully, we'll get him back on here soon. I'm going to let you know about some money flying through the air and some job opportunities, and then get back to some college football talk, some Hawks talk, and we've got Jeff Sintel. He's going to join us from Dog Nation, getting a set for tonight's Georgia Tech matchup. Sam and Greg, we're in for the morning shift, but when we come back, we got a little bit more time before 9 o'clock, top of the hour, we'll be in the steakhouse. But we are here on this Black Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Friday morning. Man, every time I hear this, I just think of Robin Williams. Him and his Bobby McFerrin song.
Yep.
And it was the last person I thought I'd see in this video. It would be Robin Williams.
Yeah,
but I just can't help it.
You just popped out there, right?
Just thinking of him here. Anyway, Sam and Greg, we're in for the morning shift on this Black Friday, 29th day of November. First of all, we haven't said this enough this morning. We hope you enjoyed a wonderful Thanksgiving, however you spent it, whether you had to work, single folks out there doing what they do. I was that for the longest time, man, and went over and visited folks or just stayed at home and sat on the sofa watching football all day, whatever you did. Or if you had a load of folks at your house or you went somewhere, whatever you did, we hope you had a wonderful day.
Absolutely.
And plenty of leftovers.
Yes.
For today.
Turkey soup, turkey sandwich.
What?
Turkey,
I never die.
Turkey
don't know.
Lasagna. We'll do turkey lasagna. We repurpose that turkey. And not just the turkey, but the other things, you rework it on today. Sometimes leftovers get to be better than the first time.
I can make that into a pizza crust.
What's that?
Turkey.
Turkey, there you go.
Just like the chicken.
Yeah.
Ooh, you got something coming next week. You already got a bunch of cookies today, right?
I want to see how you work that.
I know. My camera fell off the tripod. I'm not really emerald when it comes to that sort of thing and fixing up, but I'm working it on you. I got all the ingredients. If you're just joining us, Sam and I, of course, we've been in for the last couple of days for the morning shift, but we started off the show with a piece of news that we felt like we had to pass on to you. For the first time, a pug won the National Dog Show.
Yep.
Beat out over 200 different breeds from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Vito was the dog's name.
Ah.
The first pug
Vito
to
the
win
pug.
The National Dog. It happens every Thanksgiving. So there you go. Listen, this is, if you don't listen to us, Sam and I on the weekends, one of the things that we have done. This is the longest running feature at 92.9 The Game. I'm confident in saying that. I know that for a fact because when the doors opened in 2012 and Carl cracked the mic when he went to his first break,
yep,
there were no commercials. The only thing that ran was a promo for the casting call, which had come up from Dave FM, which is what this place used to be, right?
Right.
So the casting call has been here from the beginning. And it is one of those things, and you and I, when we started working together, we took pride in being the only show or one of the shows that every show we're letting you know how you can make some money. We're letting you know how you can put some money in your pocket, how to get a job. Whether it's me with the casting call, you have spent years talking about the need for umpires and officials and refs and things like that for high school, college level, neighborhoods. So we take great pride in doing that. And so the casting call is part of the fabric of the station. 90%+ of you don't have any need for it, or you know, and that's a great thing. Yeah, you got a nice job, you got, you know, school's going on, but unfortunately, there are people who are between jobs. With this industry being,
well, even if they have a job, they can still be curious.
They can be curious, and they can take some time away. You got to have some time to be an extra, though. You can't just like do it during a lunch break. Right, you got to want it. It's
but
like
that's
rebounding.
What makes it convenient for this time of year. I mean, if somebody, even if you have your job and you got some vacation time all piled up and you still got to take it, you backloaded your schedule. There you go. You're going to be off the last couple of weeks of the year or whatnot, the last 2 or 3 weeks. You
well,
got that time.
That's not a good time, the last couple of weeks, because the industry's trying
to
shut down,
gone,
too.
Right?
But yeah, I mean, trying to
but
shut
if,
it
but
down.
If you got some time, if you're taking it now, you take
absolutely.
You take 2 weeks at Thanksgiving time, what's something they can do next week?
And you know what? That's not fair, because there actually are commercial spots being shot those last few weeks. It may not be a TV show or a movie, but there are still industrials, there are commercials, things like that.
And you
are
can
being
try
shot.
That. You can try that and see how you like it. To me, you
absolutely
can try doing that, and then if you like it, then be ready to have some productions. But know it's going to take some time.
It has been here for well over a decade, and I mean busy. It's actually been here, you know. Part of what's going on here, I'd say since 08, I think that's when the first tax breaks popped. But I started doing casting call in 2011, and it has grown. I think it was 2.5 million in the city then, and the population has just exploded since just doing the casting call. But let me just say something. First of all, every county in the state of Georgia is camera ready. They are using pretty much the entire state to shoot projects. The reason the film industry is here is because we have every landmass other than an iceberg and a desert. Other than that,
there is a park. There is a state park down between Columbus and Albany that looks like the Grand Canyon.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
well, there you go. Right.
You know what I mean? It looks like the Grand Canyon. I'm forgetting the name of it. I gotta look it up. But I saw pictures of it. I said, this is in Georgia? You got to be kidding me. It looks like the Grand Canyon, man.
So think places like that, that's why they're here. I tell people all the time, they go, what are you talking about? I said, dude, they filmed Baywatch here. When they remade Baywatch, I mean, there is no more California beach movie or TV show than Baywatch. They filmed the remake here with The Rock and Zac Efron down there in Savannah.
Yeah.
We got everything here. So what I'm getting at is there's no need for you to have a lazy relative laying around the house. There's work here everywhere. 159 counties, they are all camera ready, and the casting directors are constantly looking for fresh faces. So if you find yourself, unfortunately, between jobs, you're looking to get some extra cash, I'm here for you. I've been here for you. Greg.Clarkson, Odyssey.com. I can let you know where the job opportunities are, how to find them, how to reach out to the casting directors. Even if this particular week, like I'm going to run down a couple here, if it doesn't fit you, check back in a couple days. Check back next week. Because the casting director's got to keep them doors open, too. And they are attaching themselves to not just the TV shows and the film projects that are being shot here, but also commercials. Things like doing industrials for, like, and I don't know this to be, but I'm going to mention some of the big companies here. It could be for Chick-fil-A. It could be Coca-Cola. Could be, you know, Hewlett-Packard. Whatever they are, they shoot internal videos for their company. And they got to hire outside talent sometimes. So I can't tell you how many I have done here. So let me just tell you about a couple opportunities. Casting All Talent is doing a project called Day of Reckoning. Looking for motorcyclists. Not bikers.
Mm-hmm.
Motorcyclists. Caucasian males, Hispanic males specifically, 18 years plus. You'll also see looking for a featured child, 7 to 10 years old. Any minors have to have a certificate from the Georgia Department of Labor. So on that breakdown, I got the link to the Georgia Department of Labor. You fill out the paperwork, and one day, comes right back to you, and you have that number. And by the way, if there's 4 kids in the house or 4 people under 18 in the house and they all want to try to get on set at one point, you can't get a number for the house or for the last name.
Okay.
Each one of those minors has to have their own number. So, and again, this is a no-brainer. It's one little basic bit of information they want from me for the Georgia Department of Labor, and they'll send you out a number the next day, and you're good to go. Day of Reckoning, again, also looking for townspeople, state troopers, bank employees, hunters. And Sam, I have said this to you before. Things like this particular project and what they're looking for is one of the reasons why this is a great country. You're going to get paid to just cross the street. You're looking for pedestrians, right? Yeah, they're looking for pedestrians just across the street. And they're going to pay you for that and feed you. So, again, you'll look at this. These breakdowns are all under Casting All Talent. As we got to the end of this week here, what I normally like to do on the casting call is give you opportunities that are sort of out, meaning they're going to start shooting middle of December, if possible. Now, some of these had fittings that were end of last week or sometime earlier this week and then into next week. But either way, I've got a good grace period here where I think you're still good, at least for the top two. Hilton Casting looking for stand-ins. It doesn't hurt to submit even if you see the date has passed, because what you're doing is you're getting in the database of these casting directors, and they'll see a fresh face. And if you're wondering, well, I don't know how to do it, just take three pictures of yourself. Get in front of a blank wall. Have somebody hold your cell phone. Take a headshot. Take a waist-up picture. And take a full body. And dress casually. That's all you got to do.
Okay.
And then get that information there. Let them know you have a reliable car, the days that you're available, and boom. I guarantee you they will be calling you back just to reach out to you and check your availability. Once you get past the jobs in front of the camera, I break down how to find the jobs behind the camera. All right, it says film industry and voiceover information. So we start off at Georgia.org. I walk you through that. I got the link to the Georgia Department of Labor, as I said. I got a couple voiceover contacts. Bill Seller, who we've had on here for a number of times, Bill did radio for a long time here. He's an individual. He's got a studio. Studio here in town. He will take you from soup to nuts as far as everything you need to know, or even if you've already got into this business and you need a little studio to do some recording in. Bill will help you with that. Atlanta Voiceover Studio, Heidi and Mike, they just moved to a new location, so they will help you out. There's workshops there. And then I give you the list of the casting directors. So if you don't want to wait for me and Sam to come back and do another casting call, you can go to the Facebook pages of Extras Casting Atlanta and Casting TaylorMade and CL Casting and all the rest. January, a destination casting. And then the last one is a generic version of how to submit yourself. So again, as I just said a minute ago, soup to nuts, anything you need to know as far as getting yourself ready to be an extra, to be a part of the industry. I made it idiot-proof, so at least I can figure it out. So that's why I have it out there. You can see the list right now on Get Cast with Greg on X, and it's also on our website, 929thegame.com/castingcall. Did I get it all out this time?
I think you got it.
I got it all out.
Yeah, man.
All right, my job here is done. All right, we are working on getting a guest for this next hour at the top here.
Something for the special. Steakhouse.
I haven't heard back from him yet, but I'm working on that. But yeah, we leave the morning shift and we venture into the steakhouse. But if we can't get to this next nest, we definitely know we have Jeff Sintel joining us from Dog Nation.
Yep.
Coming up at 9:20, getting us set for Georgia Tech tonight. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.